But we start with a guest here that is familiar to longtime State College wrestling fans, to longtime Penn State fans, and to, well, just the wrestling community in general. Eric Brugel, kind enough to join us in the studio this morning. Eric, thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
It is great to have you. Just, I want to start, just from you're kind of an insider-outsider perspective, but as you've been driving around town the last few days, I'm just, when did you graduate to State College?
I graduated from State High in 1981.
81, okay. I was going to say, I knew it was early 80s. Like, do you, I mean, I live here, and I'm like, well, this is just ridiculous, the changes in the town. But from your perspective, just driving around, I'm just wondering what your perspective is on this area.
Well, you know, it's funny that you ask that, because on my drive over here, I started thinking about, you know, just, one, the high school is way different, you know, of course, than when I was in school. I was lucky enough, we came back for a reunion a couple of years ago, and we were able to do a tour and just get, you know, how spectacular it is. And then, you know, as I was driving through, there's just various neighborhoods, and State College has grown since, you know, I was, you know, here, of course.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a variety of just different areas that were just open fields, you know, when I was living here that are now, you know, filled with houses. So, you know, not the least of which is like Blue Course Drive.
Yes.
And here off Science Park Road as you get out toward Park Forest. My whole neighborhood, you know, back there, all the stuff off Whitehall Road. There's just a lot more development, a lot more people here than when we were growing up.
Yep, and it is continuing to grow. No question about that. Speaking of growing, we're looking to grow the sport of wrestling in new and different ways. And well, I'll just let you start however you want with Claw, and I guess maybe let's start with just the. How this became a brainchild of yours,
yeah,
and who else is involved.
Yeah, CLAW is an acronym for the Champions League of American Wrestling, and it was started by myself and Tom Houck, who's another State High guy. We graduated together in 81 and went all through school together. And it got started where someone had approached Tom, who's been involved in wrestling, because he had a spectacularly successful wrestling facility down in Northern Virginia called Top of the Podium, which was like a 24,000 square foot facility where we housed, and I was on the board and used to help him out. They did tournaments and camps and clinics, and, you know, all through the winter, you know, would be, you know, running events, and became a very popular destination for, you know, wrestlers, you know, within, you know, a couple hour radius even of Dulles Airport. And so Tom got approached by some folks about talking about a professional wrestling league. You know, that, you know, was something that they wanted to do, and it was just going to be freestyle and wanted to include women and all, you know, had kind of broad ambitions. And, you know, we sat down and just said, well, in order for wrestling to be really successful from a media standpoint, you know, what do we need to do? So there have been a variety of attempts over the years to have professional wrestling. But, you know, as you guys are aware, wrestling has a very niche audience. I talk with people all the time about it, and I say, okay, how many people do you think know? I'll say that Kyle Dake is the most famous wrestler, you know, in the United States. How many people in the United States would know, okay, Kyle Dake's name?
Yeah.
You know, is it, I'm going to go with, like, maybe 2 million? But it's probably not. It's probably closer to 1 million. I've said it to a bunch of people, and they said, if you said 1 million, I'd probably take the under. And, you know, there's 350 million people in the United States. If less than one half of 1% of the people know who the most famous athlete is, the real issue with wrestling is not how you broadcast it or the production of it. It's trying to create a dynamic that's going to, you know, be able to attract more fans.
Yeah.
And in order to attract more fans, you have to start from ground zero and say, well, what is it about wrestling that, you know, these people don't like? And you have to survey people, and you have to survey kids, and you have to, you know, really work hard in order to say, in order for this to attract a bigger audience, what do we need to do? And really what it was, and for the most part, is trying to do things to pick up the pace. and you know, in order to have more scoring, more strategy. Not to belabor the whole thing, but I'd say people have, we've had, UFC is an enormously popular sport. UFC is only 20 years old. I mean, for the most part. I mean, yep. It's, you know, there were tough man competitions and everything, but UFC really took off in 2005.
Yep.
And UFC is half wrestlers. So they created a dynamic, you know, with a combat sport that, you know, is thriving. And, of course, they're for profit, so they marketed it, and they were able to continue to expand the presence of UFC. So I would say that, you know, combat sports are really popular, man versus man and the whole dynamic. But the rule sets in wrestling are often so restrictive that as the athletes progress and get better, they're harder to score on. So the marquee matchups are the most boring. You get, like, you know, everything builds up and you call your friends and neighbors and say, come over to my house and go watch this event. And then you have, like, two guys that are, you know, multi-time national champs or something. And they have a 1-1 match. And be like, who wants to watch this? Because they're so good at defensively, yeah. And they're so good at holding position. And they can't, the rule set is, you know, restrictive enough that that's the way that you can win the match. And their objective is to win. So they wrestle to the rule set. And so the rule set has to open up and create more dynamics and more opportunities so that you can bring more strategy in and keep people engaged. So that's one element of it. Yep. The others is, you know, one of the most exciting things that I'd say the most exciting part about wrestling is a really good dual meet. So a really good dual meet will engage people's attention over a couple hour time span. Because they're thinking forward to say, oh my gosh, I didn't expect that in this match. The next match has to do X, Y, and Z for my team to win. Yeah. I talk about this all the time and saying that, you know, people of our era and people around wrestling said, we've all been like on the edge of our seat, you know, watching two, you know, big boy heavyweights in high school, you know, pushing each other around. It might not have been a really good match, but we were into it because the match was on the line, yep. And you know, and your team could win if your big boy, you know, beats up on the other big boy. So, like, it doesn't have to be the best wrestlers, but it has to create this dynamic. And so, it's a dual meet format where, you know, we've tried to make the rule set in such a way where we call them rounds now, but every point in every round matters, and they're constantly wrestling. And so, it's not like, you know, a college match where the ability to call stalling is a little bit more restrictive, you know, where, you know, and especially in college now, you'll see at the end of a big college match, and particularly in the NCAAs, if they've called stalling, they won't call stalling in the last, like, 20 seconds.
Yep.
Guys can literally run away. I mean, you know, you could run out of the gym and they won't call stalling in the last, you know, 10 seconds of the match because they don't want that to be able to be what decides it. But sometimes it's just so obvious and it's not fun to watch.
Yeah.
So, and it's not going to bring in new fans.
Let's give us a thumbnail sketch, if you would, of the rules then with Claw. Like, if you're a college wrestling fan or even a freestyle fan, what is similar and go over some of the primary differences here.
If you get too down into it, you start to think, oh, wow, that's super complicated. But it really isn't. Anybody who's watched a college wrestling match will be able to pick this up quickly. The rule set is about 90%, I'll call it 90% folk style based, a little bit of freestyle elements in there. But, you know, to give an example, one of them would be, you know, we have a quick score bonus. So if you score in the first, you know, 10 seconds of a round, you get an extra point. You know, we're doing 2-point takedowns. College does 3. There's been significant studies done that 3-point takedowns actually slows down the action in college. The way I would explain it to succinctly is a 3-point takedown in a tight match gives a guy an extra stalling call. That's all. I mean, that's the only difference of the versus the old days. And stalling calls are up at the NCAA tournament by 15% in the last 2 years since they initiated the 3-point takedown.
Huh.
I could go on and on about some of these, you know, elements of the rule set that you know, if you don't start to fix that, then you can't fix it. But we wrestle on a square mat. You know, we'll have a push out, which is a freestyle rule. There's a variety of other different kinds of things that we've thrown in there, but most of it's that it's the same rules, just called with a different threshold. So we'll call stalling really fast. We'll call stalemates fast. Some boring things for people to watch. When a guy, you know, shoots in on a high crotch and a guy cracks down, locks in his crotch, you could be in a college match and they could be there for a minute. And we're sitting there watching these guys making incremental small, you know, changes, but nothing that, you know, might end up. And then, you know, the ref will let them go and they might call a stalemate 45 seconds later. Well, I'm, you know, in our set, I'd say, look, give them 6 or 7 seconds and then blow the whistle and get them back up. I tell everybody, so I'll ask you a question. So in college wrestling, the most exciting thing in wrestling is the pin, right?
No doubt.
So what percentage of pins come from a guy riding another guy? Just riding, he's riding, and then he turns him over, he puts a half in, or in high-level college wrestling, what percentage of pins come from top and bottom?
I would guess about 75-80.
Okay, the number's 15. So only about one pin out of every six comes from a guy riding another guy.
Really?
Because these guys are good. They've grown up wrestling their whole lives. They're the top, you know, they're amongst, like, say, in the NCAA tournament, they're the top 30 guys in the country at their weight class. They're strong. They're great athletes. They know how not to get, they know how not to get turned. So, pins come from unsettled situations. Pins come from somebody starting to get out, and you catch them, you know, and throw them on their back, or they're trying to spin, or pins come out of the out of action and unsettled situations where things are starting to occur. So our idea would basically be put them in more situations where we can have fun, and we can get good, better media content. So if you're having more of those things, you have more things to put on Instagram and to put on, to attract, young people to say, oh my gosh, this is fun to watch. And then when you start to factor in the other things, like we're doing fantasy. So this year we've got our, fantasy league out at WrestleMadness.com. You can even get to it through our website, which is WrestleClaw.com. But, you could do fantasy. And ultimately we'll have betting and try and do all these things that are there to engage fans. So we get more action, we have more fun, there's more scoring, there's more strategy in it, then people's minds will be engaged and we can build the audience.
We are going to take a break here. We'll be back with one more segment with Eric Bruegel talking claw wrestling. We'll get into the schedule and the format for this thing as we continue. It's Let's Talk on a Tuesday morning.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox. Fox Sports.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football.
The road to Super Bowl 60 starts right here all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand Multi-Force stand-ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Fox State College.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. Again, we'll have some open phone time coming up in the final couple of segments this morning. Eric Bruegel, kind enough to join us in studio. We're talking Claw Wrestling, which will be getting underway here very shortly. Let's maybe get into the schedule a little bit. Let's start with the teams, and then we'll get into the schedule and how people can check out Claw Wrestling.
Yeah, so the structure of the league is we have six teams. We're wrestling seven weight classes. We have two divisions, Liberty and Justice Division, and those divisions are going to wrestle round robin. We're going to begin broadcasting at the end of October, October 28th. We'll be broadcasting on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. You'll be able to get it on our site through Claw Total Access is what we call it, and it'll also be broadcast on Flow and some other streaming channels. We're going to do it one night a week is free, and another night is behind Claw Total Access, which is like $24 a year or $3 a month. It's very inexpensive, and we'll have a lot of good content on there. And we're going to do that for 4 weeks, leading up to our Super Duel, which is going to be at Cooper Fieldhouse in Pittsburgh on Saturday, November 29th. So the two teams that come out of the divisional tournament are going to be competing against each other in Pittsburgh on Thanksgiving weekend.
And you had a draft. Do you want to go over just kind of some of the athletes involved? Obviously, Zane for local folks is probably the headliner.
Yeah, Zane Rutherford. But we've got 21 All-Americans. I think close to 40 NCAA qualifiers, several national champs. I mean, Zane, of course, is a multi-time national champ. We've got Mike Machiavello, who's a national champ at NC State. We've got a couple other Big Ten names like Tristan Moran, who'd wrestled at Wisconsin, Demetrius Thomas from who'd wrestled at Pitt, Nate Jackson, who wrestled at Indiana. So we have a bunch of other names, several Missouri guys, Brock Mahler, Jared Jacquez, who was a four-time qualifier and is currently on the world team, Ian Parker, who wrestled at Iowa State University and is currently on the world team. He's now an assistant coach at the University of Northern Iowa. Alan Hart, the Red Warrior, who wrestled at Missouri. Jeremiah Ken, who wrestled at Missouri. We got tons of really good, good athletes. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Eric, what is the this first go round, if you will, starting at the end of October and wrapping up at the end of November? What's the vision here? Is it going to be an annual 1 month thing, or what are you envisioning as this thing?
Yeah, I mean, this time around, we're starting small and we want to, see it grow over time. So, what we're going to do is, we want to run a team dual meet league that builds up, to a team championship. But, the real objective of Claw is, to use the sport of wrestling to engage and entertain. So there's we'll have other kinds of events over time. One event that I'd really like to do at some point, and I say is, and we're trying in many ways to challenge some of the constructs of wrestling, and but use wrestling in order to make it more fun and entertaining for fans. One idea that that we have is something we call the half ton challenge. And in that, I'll say we get 1,000 pounds, and we'll get teams, and we'll say, you guys get 6 guys. You can weigh whatever you want, but collectively you can only weigh 1,000 pounds. And then when we come to a match, I don't care who wrestles who. So we might have a 180-pound guy wrestle a 130-pound guy. They do it in practice all the time. So, it's going to be something where if we get it out into a competition, the strategy involved with having your team beat the other team is going to be, okay, they threw that guy out. Who do I put against that guy? And then I got to throw somebody out, than they do. And in that scenario, instead of it just being, A wrestles B at 125, and then you have it at 133 or whatever. In that kind of a scenario, you'd have 720 different combinations of matches that could occur, depending on who comes out when. And it'll create some excitement around wrestling fans trying to say, okay, that guy's really good. Well, it was a win to not get killed by some guy who weighs 30 pounds more than you do. And we'll have the opportunity in some of these circumstances where the 130-pound guy takes down the 180-pound guy, to win the match because he's in better shape or he is able to get him out of off balance. And that creates some viral moments that I think will be really exciting for fans.
Yeah. No, that's I'm just wrapping my head around that. That's a pretty intriguing concept.
Yeah. The whole idea is we got to make wrestling more fun and more, more for the fans, not, for the athletes.
In terms of the, are you looking to take this to different areas of the country? Again, down the road, is that kind of the vision here?
Yeah, we're currently not geographically based, but it doesn't mean that we couldn't be. Obviously, there's certain wrestling hotbed, areas, central Pennsylvania, all of Pennsylvania, Ohio, obviously, very big, but even, some areas like, Chicago, and there's areas in the West. And so, as it pick up, we'd love to, be out there, and we're, as things progress, a real big thing will be live events will be, an important part of what we do. But as we get started, live events, are, it's a little bit less, so because we've got to build up the fan base before we get everybody pumped up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Explain a little bit how the draft process worked and the coaches that are involved with this.
So what we have is we currently have general managers of each team, and really they're primary role is to pick the teams. And so we've got some people who are social media influencers and people who are popular former athletes. One example would be Anthony Robles, who we just had the movie about him, who had such a triumphant story. We've got Billy Baldwin, the actor. We've got actually Angelo Ferrari is one of our GMs, and he's an athlete at the University of Iowa. We had a fan contest to choose one GM, and that was a group of mostly former Missouri wrestlers, and they're the general manager of our enforcer team. So the GMs picked the teams, and we had our draft at Harrah's in Atlantic City in July. With a pretty good crowd at a really large youth and high school event there, and we broadcasted. Shane Sparks was our announcer, and he'll be the announcer for our matches coming up in October and November. And it was fun, and we basically did a snake kind of draft. We had selected how it went, and went obviously 1 to 6, and then back around. And it was really fun to watch how the managers built up their teams. And afterward, you can kind of look at the lineups and say, I kind of think this team will do great, but you really don't know because every team has two or three really really strong guys. And the other guys that they have can often match up well, depending team to team, how it goes. So I think we're going to have some really fun dual meets. Our team scoring is going to be more fun too, because you get 5 points if you win a match plus the point differential. So you know, it's important if, you know, you beat a guy by 7 versus beating a guy by 2. You know, whereas in college wrestling, that your team would get the same number of team points. You know, with us, you know, your team would get 5 more team points in that circumstance.
What is the construct of, like, periods or rounds, and then, like, time and all of that? And then are there technical falls? Obviously,
yeah,
there's
pins. There is a technical fall and a pin. So we're wrestling 4 rounds. And so the rounds are 1.5, 1, 1, 1.5. Start on your feet in the first round. Second round and third round, you have to be on top and you have to be on bottom, one or the other. And then in the fourth round, you know, we have, it basically comes down to a choice. And so what we've done is the athlete who's losing as it goes to the fourth round has choice, but he has to give up a point if he wants to take choice. So if he's really strong in a certain position, let's say he's really good on top, he can't just pick. If he picks top, his opponent will get a point for the period. So there's a little bit of an edge where you have to make a decision at that point in time, and that creates a little bit more drama. But it's a 5-minute bout, 4 rounds, but it's a very hard, tough 5 minutes because we're calling stalemates fast, we're calling stalling fast. You know, if you back up and you're starting to avoid action, you'll get called for stalling. If you start doing it again 5 seconds later, you'll get called for stalling 5 seconds later. So you really have to, stay in it in order to, make it fun for the fans and, to win the match.
Yep. The officiating. How are you getting? Where are the officials coming from? And I guess how much training is going into this? Everybody's on the same page.
The officials. It's an important thing. And so we've been working on this for 3 years. So we'd started wrestling some, actually in high schools, and we went to a whole bunch of colleges and have done test matches and, talk with them about it.
Yep.
We've done, a couple of events where we've tested out the rules and, started to work on the concept. And so we've been training officials. We have a couple officials that have done dozens of matches, for us. And we're working on training other officials, currently. We're going to be starting to do a couple of even some, we've gotten some calls from people who run big youth events. And they're like, hey, we want to wrestle some claw. That looks like really fun, and our kids are asking about it. So we're going to start testing out and training some officials at some youth events, here in the fall, and we'll probably be doing more of that, as the years go on. But yeah, the officiating is tough. In our case, what we do is we have a referee, but we also have on the side an action judge. So it's 2 officials.
Okay.
And the action judge is only there to basically warn the other, the athletes for stalling. And both officials need to agree, but the action judge, when he sticks his fist out, it's like, I think you're stalling. And if the other, official agrees, then bang, you get hit with a point. So they're there to help promote action.
Are most of these guys, are they coming like from NCAA or high school officiating ranks?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mostly, I mean, the guys we have have all done a bunch of NCAA matches. And, but we are, in talking with refs, we're doing referee training sessions and talking with them about, look, here's how we want to see you calling it, because we think that's the most fun to watch.
Yeah, I love it. Give us, again, where folks can go to learn more about it and or obviously watch it and go over the schedule again.
So on social media, you can find us on @claw_wrestling. On the web, you can go to our website at wrestleclaw.com. And you'll be able to find all the information and all the links there. You're going to be able to watch on Flow if you're a Flow subscriber. You're going to be able to watch, on various streaming channels. And, obviously, we have a YouTube channel that you can go to that, we'll show the matches as well. We actually, in one of the cases, when we did our draft, we streamed it on X. And got a lot of views actually, as people share it. And so we'll be doing some streaming on Instagram and X as well.
And again, the first release is October 28th.
Tuesday, October 28th.
Anything else that I should have asked you about, or that you just want to make sure folks are aware of? Because I think this is a really cool venture, and I think that the concept is right on the money in terms of how to bring wrestling fans in and then try to attract folks that maybe aren't passionate wrestling fans to check it out.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, you know, we're trying to pick up the pace and get new fans, and I would just say, just when you think of Claw, you got to think, you know, more action, more scoring, more strategy, more fun.
Love it.
I got two questions.
Go ahead.
Okay, good.
All right. Now, you worked in the financial industry.
Yes.
All right. I have to assume there's some elements of what you did before that's being used with this, because if the league's not making money, not gonna last very long. Is there something?
And that element of it, obviously, you have to raise money and you'll be out there finding investors and you're making good financial decisions. My partner actually was in, you know, started off, he got his accounting degree from Penn State. So, you know, he's very business oriented as well and has been very entrepreneurial, as I said, with other ventures. So, you know, we have a business background and we're coming, you know, at it, you know, with that perspective. And that's one of the reasons, you know, why, you know, we're structuring the league like we are initially, because, you know, we have to get out there and sort of build up our, you know, fan base. You know, instead of starting off trying to go to huge arenas, you know, that are empty, you know, you've got to, you know, sort of build up and build the fan base online, you know, and, you know, on TV, you know, before, you know, we get it to be, you know, doing big live events. So that's been important, and the raising element money is important. And ultimately, the big thing about this is if we can raise money and we can continue to generate revenue, then we're going to be marketing back into the sport. If you think about it, so I looked yesterday, as big as the NFL is, and the NFL is the biggest media property, you know, in sports in the world, they spend $250 million on marketing the NFL every year. So they bring in $6 billion or something in revenue from advertising on their games, but they spend $250 million on marketing. So if we can build this up, and I'd say I don't know if people would be aware, but UFC is a $2 billion a year in revenue business. So, and if I say, look, can wrestling be 5% of UFC or 3% of UFC? But let's just say, you know, we can build this up to being, you know, 3% of UFC. Well, that's a $60 million a year business. And under those circumstances, we'd be spending $10 million a year marketing wrestling, trying to get it out to new fans rather than it all just spinning around in what I would call the wrestling echo chamber, you know, where it's you know, we'll, you know, you put something up in wrestling and it just goes to wrestling people. It's not, you know, the way that the social media platforms work is they're going to send it to the people who are in the, you know, in the mix. You know, you have to, you know, make a concerted effort to get it out to the UFC fans and the MMA fans and the fans of jiu-jitsu and, you know, all these other sports that are really thriving when, you know, wrestling isn't. So that, you know, we would have a lot of money to be able to market the sport. And so we think it'll be awesome for wrestling. Every sport that's thriving, you know, has a professional league and is trying to structure their content in order to attract the most fans. I mean, baseball just, you know, pitch clock and all the changes that they've made. I mean, the most striking example ever is the Indian Premier Cricket League, which has gone to a very short form content that's exploded. So,
That's what I was kind of getting at. All right. Yeah. You mentioned at the very beginning, wrestling has this small audience.
Yeah.
If this thing's going to take off, you've got to grow the audience.
Absolutely.
Well, how are you going to do that? And you talked about the rule changes and so on, but it's also just attracting people and getting good financial base.
Yeah.
So that the league doesn't like fold in 1 year or something like that. Now, streaming is great. I love streaming. All right. Is an ultimate goal regular standard TV?
Yeah, it would be awesome. But, you know, you'd be shocked at how much more streaming is taking as a market share of total sports media. And in particular, you know, for young people, one thing that I learned as part of this process that's really fascinating is the amount of TV that's controlled now just by this TV, like Samsung and the apps on a Samsung TV when they buy it. Some people just buy the TV and just use the apps that are on there, and they're doing advertising on there for Hulu or, you know, yeah, Roku or some of these others. And frankly, all those streaming platforms are striving to build up their audience in live sports. You know, and so we fit into that, you know, that mold, and, you know, we'll, you know, be on those platforms as well. But that, that ultimately could be, end up being more critical than being on, you know, on MSN or on, you know, on, you know, some of the cable channels, because fewer and fewer people are, you know, taking cable. And so it's been shocking how big a change you've had in that area. But yes, ultimately across the board, media rights, you know, are a big percentage of the revenue for any, you know, successful, you know, league.
Eric, wish you the best of luck. I think this is such a cool venture. Really appreciate your coming in and taking the time to talk to our audience.
Yeah, well, appreciate I'm glad it. We could be here, and happy to, you know, come back, and maybe we can come back and give you an update as we move along in the season.
For sure, we would love it. Appreciate it.
That's thank you,
Eric Brugel, Claw Wrestling. You can check it out. Get all of the information at wrestleclaw.com.